Get your fix of the Uncommon Cast RX, your cure for the Kamen Rider Show. Join us as we discuss the bravest of all the fighters and those Heisei guys, too. With burning justice in our souls, let's tear it up!
I'm Aleph.
I'm Amit.
And I'm Sono.
And today we're putting Drive to the test as speedy as we can as we cover episode 12 of Drive.
Yeah! We're finally here.
Yeah, who cares? It's the mock debut, and it's dumb.
And was an endless source of disappointment.
Yeah, it really was. You know, it was so disappointing that I actually forgot to ask listeners for feedback on it. So it's just going to be us discussing it. Jonathan, unfortunately, is not here right now. He's doing exams, which will be done by the time this is airing. So
we wish him the best of luck in the past.
Yes, we do. Oh, wow. Okay. I guess I'll start asking questions. So, just for the record, the episode is, because I'm being pedantic for some reason, where did the White Kamen Rider come from? Or, more correctly, from where did the White Kamen Rider come? But, whatever. So, question one. So, this episode's heavy on comedy. Do you like that? Is that introductory scene a slight against Kuga? What do you think about the Riderverse containing Kuga's cops and these cops?
It was different, and I'm not against heavy comedy. I love Gowanger, but it didn't work here, because that's not the tone of this show. Did Go do anything in this episode other than, like, do a lot of flips and jump off buildings? Because he mostly seemed to just go around bugging Shinosuke and withholding information and generally just kind of being a jerk.
Well, isn't that the same thing as being funny? I mean, I read that in a book once, so it must be true.
Maybe. I mean, this is a slight against Kuga, or I guess the idea of this existing in the same universe as Kuga. Because if those cops exist in this universe, it's not anyone that was in that room. Because they would not be laughing about monster attacks. They took that seriously. They made the entire G3 unit because of Kuga. So I don't know, but I don't think those cops are the ones that existed in Kuga and Agito.
Yeah, no, I'm right with you on this one. If we're supposed to be buying that this is all one unified Riderverse, which, you know, fine, okay, these cops have either completely capitulated to the horror of monster attacks, and, you know, all of this is just the darkest humor they can manage, because that's all they got. Or there are a bunch of people who just don't really appreciate the fact that people are dying and dying messily out there.
Yeah, either of those is really, I don't know, an untenable position for me to hold.
Really is.
You know, and especially because, I don't know, we live in a world full of darkness, and can't we go to, you know, children's television to see stuff that isn't like bleak, at least. I mean, we had the Bleak Rider Show, and I think we're all done with that.
Well, like, I'm not done with it. I just think it needs to be done well.
Better.
Okay.
Better than that, because, I mean, Ryuki was bleak, and it was great. Blade was bleak. Fies was bleak. Fies was not great, but Fies was, I still enjoyed Fies.
It's
somehow
a beautiful suit.
It is a beautiful suit.
Yeah. But, I mean, I enjoyed Fies. I don't know on what level I enjoyed Fies, but I did. But, I mean, just do it better than you did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally get on board with that. And then, as for humor in Kamen Rider, I think it's good. Various types of humor are good. Humor that isn't funny and makes your universe flatter is really bad, and I feel like that's what that did. My angle on the issue with the cops is that it pushes it too far towards being a live-action cartoon. I mean, in as much as it's bad and like terrible black humor, it's also very cartoonish, and neither of those extremes are good, or at least weren't well executed in this instance. So,
I mean, it just doesn't work here. And I'm going to use Gowanger as another example, because Gowanger is very much the type of humor that was in this episode. but it was also what 90% of Goanger was. So it worked. And then from under that, you got serious story.
Well, and I think, like, I've only seen a few episodes of Goanger, but they actually had some substance under it. This episode was like, I hesitate
nothing.
To call it style, because it's not really style. It's just a lot of quick-cut edits. Like, that's it. Just zooming in on people's faces while they have stupid reaction faces, and that's half the episode.
Yeah, and don't forget about
the
all the
half
beeping
is
and
flips.
Pooping.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And jumping off of buildings.
And like you're saying, like, I don't mind humor. Humor is often some of the best parts, because you need something to really cut the terribleness, because, I mean, this is a show about an army of monsters who have come to this major metropolitan area to murder their way to the top of the food chain. That's terrible, but you've got to handle that with a deft touch, and this, like
it
was not handled. It was not directed. Someone just read, like, oh, this is how you achieve humor in a book. It's like if aliens tried to replicate what humor looks like, but they read it from a book that was translated through, like, 9 languages, and then into alien speak.
And, like, it's not like we haven't had humor in Drive. There's been stuff in Drive that's been plenty funny. So I don't know why we're suddenly going this route. Especially in an episode that introduces a new character.
Yeah.
Because this was a terrible first impression.
It really was.
You know, it's funny. I almost started to crack up, because when you said if aliens tried to do humor, I thought you were talking about the sequel to the Ridley Scott movie, and I thought, oh, that would be an interesting endeavor. It's a really good thing that they didn't do that. It was a good direction not to go in.
Yes, I agree.
Sorry. Okay, so moving on to question 2. Did it seem that Shinosuke was talking to the shift cars in the office hallway as Mr. Belt, and Mr. Belt responded through all of them together?
Yeah, those were the type cars. That was Speed, Wild, and Technique, which seemed to be like an extension of Belt directly. Because he seems to be able to talk through any and or all of those. I liked that they had him talking through all 3 of them at once, instead of just... and had his voice kind of in stereo, instead of just have him... his voice coming out in one sort of track through all 3 cars when he's supposed... or through just one of the cars when he's supposed to be talking through all 3 of them. I liked that they had him kind of vocalizing through all 3 of them at once.
Yeah, if you're going to go that way, I think that's the better way to do it than having them all be in a robotic unison, which kind of dehumanizes them, which kind of erases the point of them being little car people. I wonder if that means anything, or if someone was just being cute. Like, what might the implications be of that? I don't know. Things like this don't happen by accident, since it had to be blocked, directed, and animated. So it kind of leaves... I mean, that's kind of an open question.
I do think the 3 type cars don't have specific personalities of their own. I think the 3 of them are a direct extension of Belt. Because we've never seen any of them do anything on their own.
Okay. Well, I'm going to reference Evangelion right now. Anybody know where I'm going?
Not a clue.
With the 3 computers?
Yeah, exactly. The Magi system. Ritsuko's mother... I'm trying to remember her last name to be respectful and call her doctor, whatever, but she murdered a child, so I'm not going to do that. sorry. So Ritsuko's mom made the Magi work super well by having them, like, grafting her personality onto them, and one of them is, like, her as a mother, her as a woman, and her as a scientist. And I'm wondering if Cool Technique and Speed, or, I'm sorry, I'd mess that up, Wild Technique and Speed might kind of be like fragmentations of Belt or Krim Steinbelt as these 3 different things, and that made it more easy for him to transplant his psyche into Belt. I don't know.
That would be maybe way too cool for this show.
Yeah, it kind of would. That seems like something far too interesting and complex for this show to go anywhere near.
It seems like something Gaim would have ripped off at some point. I should stop going back to Gaim all the time, but
it's so easy to make fun of.
Well, you know, like, that was a show that ripped off Evangelion a whole lot, and I kind of wish I knew what Drive was ripping off besides a bunch of cop dramas I've never seen.
This is especially disappointing because now I'm watching Boss 2 again, and that's so good. So now I'm remembering, like, what good cop dramas are.
Oh, I'm sorry. We just got the latest season of Law and Order in the mail, our latest season, and we're super excited about it on my front. Let's see. So Sono gave a bunch of awesome questions that I got to give you props for, because I think you took this in a direction it definitely needed to go that I wouldn't have pushed it. So here we go.
I didn't even mean these as serious questions.
Oh, but they're just so great, though.
It's just like, why? The whole point of these questions is just why this episode in general.
All right, well now that we have your state of mind in view, why was the introduction of the secondary writer a gag episode?
I feel so bad that it was a gag episode, because there's so much potential in the idea that's under this episode, that's under all of the terrible gags, and under the idea of, like, even if I'm not happy with the narrative choice of Mach being Kiriko's brother, there's still a lot of potential in the idea, I think. But, and it's not my story, so I don't get to make the decisions. I just get to watch it and hope it's not terrible. But this whole episode was just awkward and left such a bad impression of Go. Like, we see Kiriko take the whole day off. Kiriko, who we know is super serious about being a cop, and this whole thing that's gone on because she almost died. So she takes the whole day off from this very serious mission to clean and, prep her apartment for him coming to stay with her. And he just goes wandering around to harass her partner, who he knew was her partner, and just leaves her hanging? That's really rude. That is a rude thing to do. And we saw him in 11 come and save her, so why would he do that?
Because it's cool to be rude.
What a jerk. And I mean, as far as we saw in 12, Go is all of the obnoxious parts of Date and Nito without any of the deeper endearing qualities that both of them started displaying kind of right off the bat. And they're really going to have to start playing catch up with him if they're going to want Go to be any kind of endearing.
Yeah, tons of catch-up, because this is terrible. I mean, look, okay, fair is fair. It's nice that the show is just dropping to a level of bad that's worthy of discussion, and where all the nicest thing, and that's really the nicest thing I can say about the episode. I spent most of the time just feeling confused, because look, I've had my problems with the show up till now, but this is the first time it's felt just totally insubstantial. We've seen secondary writers introduced before, and with a little freaking dignity for everyone. But this, I get that he's supposed to be a more exuberant presence, because I guess Americans have a reputation for big, loud, bang, bang, shooty, shooty. But, jeez.
I mean, I get that what they're going for with him is this sort of, old-school daredevil, riding a bike through a flaming hoop over a bus full of children. But you need to actually establish his character first before you punch us in the gut with this overbearing theme. He's Kiriko's brother. He's the brother of our, one of our lead characters. Why are we not starting on that foot?
I think that's a great point that you make, but I'm going to bring it down a level real fast and say, if we're going to have a character that's cool, I guess that's okay. You mentioned riding over, the bus full of school children and stuff, and I couldn't help but think of the Fonz, and you know, he was actually kind of cool. I mean, if you look back, dorky, but still, he acted in measured ways, a bit like the idea behind Technic, whereas this guy's just a goofball. I'm having a hard time even calling him Go, because he didn't feel like a real character to me, and therefore he doesn't need a name. He's just that guy.
Yeah, he's just that guy that did, like, 10 flips off of a building. Like, the whole point of him being Kiriko's brother in this episode seemed to be to make another joke about Tomari and Kiriko, where, like, Tomari thought that Go was her boyfriend or something. That was the whole end joke of the episode, and, like, that doesn't even make sense.
Sorry, I'll be right back, guys.
No problem. Okay.
Cut that part out.
Yeah, that really doesn't make sense. Now, I guess let's break down real fast, because at the end of the Christmas episode, which I guess was the previous one, right?
Yes.
Shinosuke had kind of thought, and we didn't really discuss this, but it seemed like he thought that he was going on a date with Kiriko, because in Japan, as far as the Persona games have taught me, Christmas Eve is like a date night, or it's a night that you spend with someone special?
Yeah, like, it could very much be perceived that way. I don't think that was Kiriko's intentions at all to even make it seem like that. I think for some reason they just wanted to do that joke and have him jump to that conclusion, and for some reason had him jump to that conclusion again. And, like, it's really awkward to be pushing that relationship between them, especially this early, without any kind of really anything under it. It's like, no, you two are partners. And I mean, like, I'm the shipper in the room, and that still feels awkward to me.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm completely on board with the idea of them together, but this isn't working for me.
Now, what about the, I don't know, the moonlighting X-Files, will they, won't they, idea or excuse? I mean,
you need to build up some tension there first, instead of just starting straight off with the joke, like, oh, this is a date, oh no, that's your boyfriend. Like, haven't really, there's been some of that tension there, but not enough, and it's only been 12 episodes.
Yeah, like, X-Files at least let that stuff fester, and they pushed it for a long, long, long time. Also, X-Files, good.
Like, even to keep within, sort of within in genre, as I typically defer to, I'm going to defer to Bokenger, they build Akashi and Sakura the entire season. And, like, that's a canon relationship. That's pretty much canon by the end of the show. They build that the entire season, where I wasn't sure if that was something being done intentionally or if I was just watching them with shipping goggles on.
Yeah, and, I mean, to your point, you can't really, like, you would have to force yourself to see any burgeoning relationship chemistry between Kiriko and Shinosuke at this point in the show.
Yeah, and, like, when you start making those jokes, it really takes it it really kind of takes you out of it, and that's a lot of my issue with Tomoko and Ryusei in Forze, where once he kind of jumps over onto the team and they start trying to actually push that as canon, it got really awkward.
It really did.
And, like, it just became a joke and wasn't really interesting anymore because they weren't building a dynamic between them anymore. It was just, oops, now we're sort of dating. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it has the stink of a man and a woman are on screen together. Well, they must be going out.
Yeah, and, like, even it's a man and a woman are in a relationship that is otherwise completely platonic, but we have to make these dating jokes.
Yeah, for reasons. Because the rest of it's such an easy out, and I know Kamen Rider is better than that.
Yeah, it is. It's just, we've had male and female characters just be friends before. It's happened.
Many times.
Surprisingly, the one that comes to mind first is Kiva. with Shizuka.
True, yeah?
With Wataru and Shizuka. There was never any kind of romantic thing there. She was just his friend.
And even if one wanted to argue that she got jealous over...
over Mio, which she kind of did, but then there's kind of the fact that he wasn't really talking to Shizuka as much as that point.
Yeah, I think it was more like, hey, you know, we're friends, and now you've replaced me, or you're not paying as much attention to me as you used to.
Yeah. And even then, that was really late in the series, even if you kind of want to use that as an excuse with Shizuka. That was very, very late in the series, where she had spent most of the series just happily being his friend before that.
Yeah, that's true.
Kuga with Sakurako. Just Godai's friend. She had no interest in him. She had no real interest in anyone. She just wanted to decipher these symbols.
And his heart belonged to another anyway, right?
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, the show did kind of end up putting her with the doctor. But that even took a while.
Kinda. I could see the argument being made, but...
They went on a double date with Jean and Enokita.
Oh.
That did happen.
Yeah, that's true, but I just never saw them together. But, you know, that's...
He kept hitting on her, and she's like, I gotta decipher these symbols. We'll do this another time.
Well, that sounds really great.
Kuga's a masterpiece.
I won't argue.
I won't argue with it either, even though I can't say, really. Just everything I hear, it has to be great.
It is.
Okay, moving on to the fourth question. What are you doing, Sanjo and Toei, for letting them do it? And I guess Bandai, too, but maybe they want to sell those sweet, sweet toys.
What is anyone doing? How did anyone let this happen?
I honestly think just everyone just got drunk while looking at the marketing department's requests. Oh, they want a hot new writer who makes the first guy look lame and stuck up? Oh, fine then, have this. I mean, like, look, I know I'm showing my age here, but do any of y'all remember when the Sega Genesis was coming out, and they had, like, Sonic the Hedgehog, and he was the center of the marketing, and the whole marketing pitch was, look here, old man Mario, this is a game system for cool, young, hot people who are extreme and cool. Yeah, old man. You know, I mean, that was the whole 90s aesthetic, you know? Extreme milk. You think I'm kidding. I'm not kidding.
No, but I remember that. That's how everything was.
Are you talking about the dreadlock commercial?
I think so. Like, I just know that there was, at the store, a little bottle of like, colored flavored milk you could get, and there's a cow on the label with sunglasses on a skateboard. He's so radical, dude. and I mean, you know, that's what the whole thing felt like to me, which is kind of a problem since, like, Go looks a little older than Shinosuke to me, but maybe that's just me.
No, they look around the same age to me, which makes this all very confusing, because I would just assume that Shinosuke and Kiriko are about the same age, and Go is supposed to be younger, but he might only be, like, a year younger, so who even knows?
Yeah, that happens sometimes. I don't even know what to say.
How did this happen? Who read this script and decided this was a good idea?
I don't know, but they should be fired.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I hate to, you know, be ending people's careers here, but come on, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
but...
no, this was bad. And I mean, we did at least get the whole scene with Oto seeing, like, the technique helmet and drawing his terrible composite rider for Internet Guy, while Tomari and Rina are like, oh my god, have we been caught? And then he shows it, and they're like, aw, safe. And that was hysterical. I loved that scene. Because it's like, oh, thank God, we're finally giving these other two people personalities. And... more than we have gotten from them in the past.
I gotta stop you real fast. Internet guy. The fact that you called Q internet guy, I think is a perfect encapsulation of what a poor job the show is doing of familiarizing us with all these characters.
Yeah, okay. I can't remember his name even slightly. I can't remember the chief's name either. That may just be because they don't ever use it.
Maybe.
Is why I don't remember the chief's name. Because that is a problem I do have with things, where it took me maybe like 7 episodes of Deno to remember Iri's name because no one was using it. I just didn't know her name.
I don't know who that is. Is that the coffee lady?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, okay. Ryotaro's sister.
Okay.
Because they just didn't use her name.
That's right.
For like 6 or 7 episodes. And I'm just like, what is your name? I forget what I kept calling her for a while. I called her by the name of some character from something.
Oh, you didn't call her Hot Coffee?
No. No.
Sorry.
And then I started calling her a giraffe at some point.
Ooh.
Matsumoto Wakana has a really long neck. And there's a scene later in the show where she's, like, looking upwards so her neck is extended. And it really freaked me out how long her neck was. So I've been calling her a giraffe since then. Lovingly calling her a giraffe because I do love Iri, but... Also, it really bothered me getting back to Drive. It did bother me that Tomari didn't seem to make any kind of priority of catching Oto when he fell off a building. Like, that seemed very, very out of character for him, given that his whole issue right now is some stuff fell on his partner during a density shift. Like, why were you not, okay, I need to run away from this monster and go catch this dude in my department? Who might die if he hits the ground.
Yeah. Yes, that is a huge issue. And I know,
Aleph,
you talk about it a little bit later, but I kind of...
Yeah, go for it.
All right. I have an issue with him not saving Oto because, like, anybody remember? I think he said 2 episodes ago that saving people was more important than going after the enemy.
Yep.
Albeit that was an enemy that was fleeing, but still. But I think the conceit in the show is that the slowdown slows time physically so that if you take, you know, force equals mass times acceleration into account under that logic, Oto actually gently floated down to the ground and the impact was next to nothing. However, that eliminates the danger and nullifies the point of him, falling. And, like I said... totally undercuts the drama, so why even have it then in that case?
Yeah, it was all this build-up, and then it's just like, oh, no, this isn't even a thing. Why are we doing this?
And the physics, like, you know, you bring up force equals mass times acceleration, and I, you know, the whole time I'm like, okay, wait, how is this, okay, it's just slowing down physical time, but everyone's thoughts are still moving at the same constant rate. That doesn't make any dang sense. Because if time is slowed down, your thoughts are slowed down. You are unstuck from normal time. It just... Not to mention, I keep thinking, like, if his time is just slowed down, you know, he'd still be he's still hitting the ground at terminal velocity. It's just that his relative time is very different from ours, which I admit gives a really nice set piece for Drive to fight in. I liked the thing. It's like, oh, he's, you know, there's a dude going in slow-mo and they're rushing and fighting. But like you said, he didn't try and save the guy, so...
Yeah, like... At first, he was like, oh, I gotta get around you, I've gotta go save him. But, like, then 3 floors down, he seemed to completely forget that Oto was falling off a building.
Okay, also, I'm mad. He fought as Technic. He didn't have robot movements.
I didn't even notice. Damn.
It
may just be that this episode was terrible. That may just be because this episode was terrible.
It was just barely directed at all.
So.
Yeah, I gotta say, and I hate to pile on, but this kind of deserves it. I was actually kind of bored, and almost wondered why I was watching it while I was doing the notes.
That's pretty legit.
I was bored
through most of this episode, honestly.
I don't know if it's just the callousness of doing the shows, or what it is that made me more sensitive to it. Maybe it was just really, really bad. I mean, that's very possible.
This was a really bad episode.
Yeah.
This episode was just absolutely terrible.
The pits.
Do we even want to move on to the rest of it?
Yeah, we might as well. I mean, okay. It's all here.
Okay, so,
There actually are still, scrolling through this real quick, there are some things we should address.
Okay. Let's move through quickly. So moving on to the, facts of the show, I'm just gonna skip, like, the super nerdy facts about who everybody was and things like that, because, like, it doesn't matter. Gunman was the Romu, if you're interested.
If I could just break in for just a sec on that.
Oh, yeah.
This is the one nice thing I'll say about this episode and the next. It's nice to see a little ethnic diversity in there. Like, it's not much of a part, he doesn't get to do a whole lot, and he's in monster form most of the time, but hey, there's a black dude on the show, that's awesome, and it is such a step up from Kate Sith in Wizard. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes, oh, yeah. I actually was wondering if it was the same guy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think it might be.
Anything. But look, he wasn't written as an uncomfortable racial stereotype. Like, okay, I get that this is very Americanized.
I don't know if Kate Sith was written as a stereotype, though, because it is very, very different over there.
I know, but, like, I can't escape the fact that I come from the West, where black people are often stereotyped as being very lazy, and Kate Sith's whole thing was, I don't want to go fight Wizard, I want to sleep, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Again, I don't
that,
know if that's
that may
just
that
where
may
I'm
just
from.
Be an uncomfortable coincidence.
It might
because,
be
because like
I hope
none of
case.
Those stereotypes really none of those Look, stereotypes for black people exist
I don't
really
know
exist
what stereotypes
there.
Exist over there. You know,
I had read a really interesting thing about that recently. I will try and dig that up again.
Okay. I liked how, I liked that he got to play an actual villain who was implied to be competent.
Oh, yeah.
Had relationships, he's bringing in his brother at the end, that's cool. And, like, there's a part of me that's like, yeah, but then they made him look really American, which is really foreign, but look, I'm gonna give them the credit for at least trying and having some people who weren't the ethnic majority on the show, because that's really cool.
Yeah. I totally agree with that, and quickly, I actually, I don't know what it was, but I liked seeing, this black guy on the show as, like, the gunman, as this, like, super Western figure, and I'm not exactly sure what I thought was so attractive about that, but it, just something about it fit, I guess maybe because it's known that he's from America, and that, I guess he'd probably... Well, he had dealt with Go over there, or in the States. Over here, I guess, technically.
Yeah.
So it felt kind of okay to me. But, I mean, that's maybe just a matter of taste. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I just... it's... Yeah.
And it's not really significant, so... anyway. Okay. Who's next? Oh, I guess I should go. I should say this. Like I made reference to, Shijima Go has apparently been common writing in America and wanted to have a super showy Japanese debut for his return.
It was showy, but there was absolutely no substance there. I mean, it was all explosions and glitter and jumping off buildings, but it was boring. Like, who's this guy and why should I care? And we got another shift car that was apparently maybe training him? This, like, weird circus shift car?
I kind of loved it, actually.
Like, I have no problems with circus, but it's just... Go was boring. He was, like, why should I care about this dude? You're not telling me anything interesting. I mean, at least when Nito came, it was like, oh, well, I have this Chimera inside me, and if I don't have it eat phantoms, it will kill me. I'm like, oh, well, that's a really interesting story. Tell me more about that.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking dark humor that, you know, the clown is actually an evil clown, Shifkar, and it will murder him if he doesn't fight or something. But obviously that's not.
Well, that would be following in our trend of fight or die that we've had every other secondary rider since Oz.
Oh, yeah.
But that we were not told that. So for now, I'm going to believe that this is some kind of benevolent circus van and that Go is just a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly haven't given you anything to think otherwise.
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, moving on. Okay, so Rina, yeah, this is important. Rina built a device that can neutralize density shift.
Which she maybe should have been doing for a while. I mean, I don't know how long she was working on this, but it seems like that's something we should have had earlier, or that it should have been harder to build than I built it between the last two episodes after Christmas, because I thought it would be useful. Like, why not build one that can kind of neutralize a whole city block and then trap one in there? I mean, maybe she will. Who knows? Rina is great. So maybe more will come of this, but this episode was terrible, so I doubt it.
Look, Rina is great. This episode is so terrible. But like, I just keep thinking, it's really early in the show to start making it so, you know, non-super people have access to the powers, which had heretofore been solely for the rider and the monsters. Because, again, it's the old thing, if the police are effective, why do we need Kamen Rider?
Well, I mean, that goes back to Kuga. The police had to learn to be effective.
Exactly, but...
And, I mean, there is the fact that the machine was really big and hard to move around in. So, I mean, I guess you could kind of refine that like we did with the Grongi bullets. But, again, just this feels too early, and why are we not building something for Kiriko?
Yeah.
Again, it's because this episode is terrible.
Yeah. I like this. The Romulo are machines that cause density shift, at least with the courier drive or the drive or the core drivier, whatever, from Krim, and that was featured or spoken about just a couple episodes ago. So, like, why not duplicate that in a will-less machine? I'm just worried that this will be neglected for a long time.
Which, yeah, it probably will, because this episode was terrible.
I anticipate it being forgotten next episode.
Yep.
Yeah, probably. Let's see. So the Romulo have small devices that can enable humans to generate density shift.
Which, you know, again, like, I still want to know how density shift works vis-a-vis, you know, its effects on people and time generally. But, you know, I already had that rant. I'm just glad to see that the Roymutes are thinking strategically. You know, that's a good way for the writers to create good obstacles for our hero. But it's another one of those things where I'm starting to feel like density shift is just how they justify, oh, and yeah, we get to do this now. But why? Density shift. But that doesn't... You didn't do that before with density shift? Yeah, we can now.
Yeah, and I'm with you on this. This made no sense, and I feel like it might be too late for them to start laying ground rules with that, because, I mean, we've had 12 episodes of the density shift being who knows what. Like, nothing has ever been specific. So I'm with you on that, and, like, our core cast, Go aside, has had some decent writing as far as the series goes. But the world still feels so flimsy that you kind of fall out of it.
You do. It's wet paper.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you might be right. Let's see. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the way Papa Terror worked out in Double and, like, you've been so afraid of me because of my power. And I never bought that. And that's... kind of what this feels like, too. Sorry, it's just, it doesn't work. Anyway.
The Terror Dragon was horrifying, though.
Yeah, it was. It was.
The rest of him may not have worked, but the Terror Dragon was absolutely horrifying.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome. But, you know, I hear your thoughts about this being neglected, and I voice the same thing, but hopefully each quarter won't bring a change or revelation on how density shift works, even though I fear it will.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's an empty hope, I guess.
But one we will cling to.
We can dream.
Yeah. Medic apparently knows Krim, which I'm surprised about.
Yeah, she was one of the original group, wasn't she? So that would kind of explain that. She was probably around and then maybe broke. I don't know. I don't know why she was down for that amount of time.
Man, I don't know. Because she's of the female gender, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. She needed a nap.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that was defined, but I think it was probably poorly or illy defined because I didn't really pick it up. And I like to think I'm observant when it comes to the shows, but I just didn't get that at all. I heard that she was one of the old ones, but like they didn't really show it at all, and that's kind of irritating. So
it is.
I mean,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just agreeing with you.
Okay. Yeah, and Heart is still on the mend, which is
God,
good.
This was so skeevy. This scene was so uncomfortable. It was so weirdly sexual between Heart and Medic, and then Brain's reactions to acknowledging that and watching this happen, and Chase just generally being uncomfortable and trying not to look at it. Yeah. And I swear if this leads to some kind of robot love triangle, I'm going to completely lose interest in our villains again, because that didn't work in Ghost Ager, and it's not going to work here. Like, I don't have time for a love triangle. We've got too many other things going on. But either way, as it was here and now, it was so incredibly uncomfortable. I wanted to believe we were going to subvert, like, the nurse tropes with Medic. And it's only been two episodes, so nothing is set in stone. Things may change. But man, I am not liking what I'm seeing right now.
No. And it's particularly frustrating because it's not even a love triangle that we get to see, like, develop. It's one we're dropped into and one we're in. The characters, like, they're really underwritten. And like, I like Medic's weird puppet ballerina thing. But, you know, like you said, it's really grody.
I think what really made it so skeevy was Brain's reaction.
Mm.
Like, it was uncomfortably sexual in general, but I can usually kind of give that a pass for some reason. It's not good, but I'm just like, you know what, whatever. But then you've got, like, Brain over across, like, sitting across from them, like, having to, like, sweating and have to, like, wipe himself down with a towel, and I'm like, this is really gross. Like, this is really uncomfortable, and y'all need to stop.
Yeah, the point about the sweat, that is really nasty.
Yeah.
Now, is this more or less skeevy than the first Usagi Mamoru kiss?
Oh, man, that's... No, this is all at least completely consensual. So okay. That is definitely more skeevy.
Okay, no, you're right. You're right about that.
No,
like,
no.
At least everything here, everyone is a consensual adult.
Right.
Okay, so I've been listening to the podcast and at least trying to keep up with Sailor Moon. That's where she, like, gets hella drunk at a party or something.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And like, then makes out with Mamoru, who...
Well, no.
I'm given...
She gets drunk and passes out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And then he just goes and kisses her.
Yeah, that's why it's so bad.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, and remember, she's 14.
Yeah, no, I forget how old he is. He's
in college. He's in high school.
Yeah, he's in high school.
He's in high school. But I think he's pretty late in high school.
But still, like... Yeah, that's not okay. Not okay.
Yeah, no, it was super skeevy. She may not have been... She wasn't drunk. She was just tired and passed out.
Oh,
in the manga, she was drunk and passed out. And in the first series, she was just drunk.
Right.
So they kind of move the elements around a bit, but it's kind of skeevy no matter how you do it.
Yeah, that's just the way some things are. All right, So, my big final note for this episode, Go is an ass clown.
Yeah, he is. And I'm super disappointed. I'm not surprised, because this is what I've been expecting. Go back to the last three episodes of this podcast, or at least the last three episodes of us covering Drive, and this is pretty much all I've been saying about him. But, like, it was like Sanjo said, okay, well, I did the Stoic Secondary the last two times I did Rider. I want to play with the other kind of post-Decade Heisei Secondary now. I want to do one of the fun ones. And just, again, did all of the obnoxious parts of Date and Nito without any of the things that made them good characters.
Yeah, Riku Sanjo missing the point? No. I mean, again, it wouldn't be... Oh, go on.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear what you say first.
Oh, no, I'm just... You know, it wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be so bad if it were done well, even a little. I mean, I kind of like the idea of Shinosuke, who always seemed to be in this kind of unsure Peter Parker Spider-Man mold, and then he's butting up against someone who actually is as cocky as he pretends to be when he's Drive. But, not like this.
Yeah, and...
Go on. Yeah,
okay, sorry. I think something that, I don't know, listening to you guys, I'm getting that it's interesting the last couple secondary writers have been foreigners in some respect, even. Go was overseas, Date was off, you know, doing medicine in...
Yes, they've all come from overseas. A lot of them have... Nito was also overseas.
Right, he was.
That's true. I thought of that. Good call.
Ryusei was from another school.
Yeah.
Excel... Terui Ryu was a police officer in another town, but I believe he was originally from Futo.
Yeah, they keep doing this... They keep coming back to this theme of the secondary writer needing to be an actual... not only not a member of the cast previously, but... Maybe to justify that, or in that same spirit, they've been off somewhere in, you could say, a different world from the main writer of the show. And I think that's an interesting concept, and maybe that's something that could be fertile soil for discussion at a later date.
It is, and it's really interesting that this time, even though Go is completely from the outside, he still has this very deliberate, direct tie that can't really be shaken to our core cast in that he's Kiriko's brother. And I think that's such an interesting angle because I think it would bring a lot more to Kiriko because you act differently at work than you do at home. You act differently with the people you work with than you do with your family.
Yeah.
And I think that would be such an interesting angle to take. And all she did in this episode was sit at her table at home waiting for him and then showing up and not really knowing what was going on.
And, and having a nice, of her own.
Yeah. Yes, she did. She did get one.
Because Mach is just that fascinating. He's so, so mind-bendingly cool.
Why was this strange to her? Why wasn't she like, oh god, he's doing this again? Like, shouldn't that be something that she, like, recognized in him? Like, oh, he's doing one of his weird stunts again. I mean, I guess she was confused that he was a Kamen Rider? That's a pretty reasonable thing to be confused about, I guess, because clearly no one told her about this.
Fair dues, yeah.
But... It just seems like a waste that's when the first time we saw him was him saving her, directly stepping in to protect her and then trying to hide that he was a rider from her, I guess. I would assume, because then he left. Mm-hmm. Then just kind of does the rider thing and then runs up and gives her a hug, like, oh, this is no big deal. That's very contradictory.
Yeah, I don't know. It is.
This episode is bad. This is a bad episode.
Why
wouldn't he have done his big showy thing then? During this, like, electrical thing?
Because I'm guessing someone else called dibs.
This is dumb. Whose bad idea was this?
Yeah, I couldn't even venture a guess, really. It just isn't... I don't know. I forgot to double-check who wrote this episode. Because I wanted to see if it was the secondary writer. Not that I want to, like, dump everything all over the secondary writer of the show, but...
You know what? I'm going to take a look real quick.
You would think that on the introduction for the secondary writer
no,
that...
No, it says Riku Sanjo.
Wow, really?
We could also blame a lot of this on the producers and the directors, because...
We have a pretty terrible producer.
I've had it up to here with this director as well, because, I mean, these... The fights... The socializing, all of the things that are important for the show are just, they just point a camera, and then they just leave it. And it's not good. Oh, and someone in the editing room cuts things.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, it's better than early Gaim, where we had that with, like, really awkward video filters and shaky cam. I mean, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
But, like, that doesn't make it good.
Yeah,
Just because it's better than something else doesn't make it good.
Right, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, especially because I really, really enjoy all the... Oh, man, how do I say this most succinctly? I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm like a George Lucas fanboy, and one of the things I love about him is that he's always wanted to push the state of the art of filmmaking forward, and, he was instrumental in getting, like, requesting. I'm not saying, like, I did all the work himself, but in saying, like, hey, let's get digital recording to be a thing and, you know, recording things on, digital and then editing them digitally and non-linearly. And, like, all the terrible editing choices I'm not enjoying feel like they're the product of that. So, I gotta say, curse non-linear digital editing. So, anyway, I got nothing else to say, though. Do either of you want to say any last words on this episode before we put it to rest?
This was a bad idea, and its timing was bad, because we've had 2 full weeks to just sit on this episode without something else to distract us.
And like, all I can think is, like, again, it's nice to have just a full-on terrible episode so that I could just feel justified in like thinking everything else was mediocre and just sort of be resenting its mediocrity.
Uh-huh.
And then something terrible happens and I'm like, that's right. Grr. But that's because I'm really a terrible person.
I mean, we do have the next episode is going to be a chase episode. It looked like.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
And then 14 and 15 will at least be fun to talk about, because I'm just going to be really excited about our victim of the week.
Why is that?
But our victim of the week is Boken Pink.
Oh, that's right, yes.
There you go.
I knew someone cool was coming by, but...
So, I mean, that will at least be fun to talk about. It will be nice to see her act again. I'm disappointed that I've had to not only endure this terrible episode, but have to endure a week off, which involves more waiting for her.
Right.
And then on top of it, like, all I've had was this terrible episode. It helped that the episode of Tokyuger was very good.
Well, that's good. Among other things, Tokyuger has a writer who can write, a director who can direct.
And a sick harmonica solo.
Yep.
Oh, really? I love harmonica.
Yeah, no. Well, that's been a thing with Tokyu 6 the entire time. He plays harmonica, which I also have a weakness for the harmonica.
Why did nobody say this? I'm going to have to check out the show
just for
that.
I don't know. I should have said something. I'm surprised I have not talked about that more, but he played... they all sang the opening with the band this week, and he got to do sick harmonica solos during their playing of the opening, and it was fun. It was a good clip show episode. For a clip show episode, they did a good job with it.
They did.
All right, well, you've just talked me into downloading that episode.
Yeah!
Also, before we close, I want to let all the listeners and the two of you know that I went ahead and checked out the first episode of Deno.
good.
I don't see what some people's problem with the show is, and it looks like it'll be very interesting.
It's a fun show. And then it'll punch you in the guts.
Okay, good.
Because
I like that.
It was 2007. And that's what they did in 2007. They made everything fun, and then they punched you in the guts.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Okay, we should go ahead and get out of here. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And don't forget to support our non-existent Patreon page and give us lots of money so we can buy better mics and things like that.
Yeah, so I can quit my terrible job.
Yes, that too. Hang in there.
And any of our listeners who are not following me on Twitter, who are following me on Twitter, I apologize for today. And by today, I mean the day we're recording this. My job is terrible.
Yeah, and hopefully, like you said, just a few more months and hopefully you can get out of there.
5 months. 5 months, that's what I'm telling myself. That's how I survive.
You should get a countdown or like a little timer. Yes. To count you down. All right, well, I guess this is goodbye for now, and who knows what next episode's going to bring, both of this show and of Drive. Hopefully Drive gets better, because it's kind of stinking right now.
Yeah. It's just bad. God, please give Go a personality.
Oh, that would be nice.
Please, just a real personality is all I ask for.
I'm thinking of, like, some sharp criticisms I've heard of moe girls in anime, where, like, a girl's personality will be that she wears glasses and falls over a lot, and that's yeah. What I'm feeling for Go right now. He dresses like his bike and flips a lot.
Yeah.
Also, his pants magically change color mid-flip.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
The thing you notice.
Yeah, I guess
what
someone didn't catch that.
What a bad episode.
Yeah,
this was not good.
I don't care. No one cares. It's a shame.
I miss when they tried. when effort was made. Because, I mean, as much as I am enjoying a lot of Drive, it feels like a lot of effort is not being made here.
Yeah, sadly. Okay, well, once again, goodbye, everybody. We're getting out of here for now before we all get depressed.
Yeah, see you next time.
You can reach us on Twitter at UncommonRx or the show's inbox, UncommonCastRx@gmail.com, to submit any questions, suggest topics for future discussion, or just let us know how we're doing. This episode's hosts can be reached at NeedsMoreAlif for Alif, at Trial of Heroes for myself, at The Imposter for Jonathan, and at Sono Your Face for Sono. Please rate and review to raise our visibility and listen to us wherever you are by subscribing through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite RSS reader. This has been a production of the Tool Network, bringing you analysis for the team. For more, visit trialofheroes.wordpress.com.